The focus of the sixth perek are the 13 boxes which were in the Beis HaMikdash for one to be able to designate money for different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. But before we reach that, the Mishnah discusses two other groups of 13. The first one being the 13 places in which one would bow down when visiting the Beis HaMikdash. And the second thing are the 13 shulchanos, the 13 table-like structures, which will be discussed in a few Mishnah's time. Be as it may, the previous Mishnah told us that members of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Chanina Sganakanim's household, they would bow down in a 14th location as well, because they had a tradition that they heard that that was where the Oron was hidden underground by Yoshio HaMelech before the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. So the Mishnah now relates a story in connection to that. Maisa b'kohen echad shohemis asik. There was a story that once happened with a particular Kohen who was busy doing a particular work in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara adds that this particular Kohen had a mum. He had a wound which meant that he wasn't able to do the real service in the Beis HaMikdash, but he was able to do a particular job which even Kohanim who have mumin are allowed to do, and that is to separate and check the wood which will be used for the Mizbeach to make sure that there is no wormy wood amongst the piles of wood which are used for the Mizbeach fire. Be it as it may, he saw part of the floor that it was slightly different to the rest of the floor. There was a particular floorboard which was slightly raised, and he understood that this was the place where the Oron was hidden. They must have opened up the floorboard once and put it back, but it was still slightly raised above the rest of the floorboards, or the rest of the stones. The Beis HaMikdash's floor was stone. And so he came and told his friend that he knows where the Oron is hidden, but he didn't manage to finish the matter. He didn't manage to show him exactly where the Oron was until his soul left him and he died. Clearly Hashem didn't want the location of the Oron to be revealed yet. And also the fact that this person who found out where the Oron was hidden was willing to just tell anybody, that was the wrong thing to do as well, because there was a danger that perhaps the non-Jews would find out where the Oron was hidden. He definitely shouldn't have just told everyone about it. So before he managed to do so, he died. The Yodu B'Yichud, and they knew clearly, Shesham Ha'oron Nignaz, that was where the Oron was hidden, somewhere in this chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would check the wood for the Mizbeach. Mishnah Gimel, the Heichon Mishtachvim, where would they bow down? Where were these 13 locations where they would bow down? Arba Batzafon, four times on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, as they passed there. The Arba Batdorim, four on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. Sholosh Mizrach, three on the east side of Shtayim Ma'arav, and two on the west side. Keneged Shleish Asa Sha'arim, corresponding to and opposite the 13 gates of the Beis HaMikdash. As they passed the gates, they would bow down. Now, where exactly were the gates? What were they called? Where were they located? Says the Mishnah, Sha'arim Duramim Suchim Lamarov. The gates which were on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash, nearest to the west direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Firstly, there was Shar HaElyon, the upper gate. The reason why it was called the upper gate is because the Beis HaMikdash was on a mountain, Har Bayis. And so part of it was higher than the rest, and this gate, Shar HaElyon, was the gate which was on the highest point of all the gates. So because of that, it was known as Shar HaElyon. Secondly, Shar HaDelek, further along the south side of the Beis HaMikdash, still nearer to the west direction, but this time going towards the east, was Shar HaDelek, the gate of lighting the fire. They would bring the wood for the Mizbeach through this gate. Thirdly, towards the east again, on the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash, Shar HaBachiros, the gate of the firstborns, the firstborn animals which were brought on the Mizbeach as korbanos, they were brought through this gate. And fourthly, Shar HaMayim, the gate of the water, the lower name of Shar HaMayim. Why was the name of this gate called Shar HaMayim, the gate of the water? Because through this gate, they would bring in the jug of water, which was used for Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos. That refers to a process where they would pour water on the Mizbeach. It was a very joyous occasion, every Sukkos in the Beit HaMikdash. And they would bring water from the Mayon HaShiloach, a particular spring of water very near to the Beit HaMikdash. And they would bring that through this gate of Shar HaMayim. Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov says, why was it called Shar HaMayim? Because Bei HaMayim Mefachim V'asidun Yez Yetzin Mitachas Miftan HaBayis. Through that gate, in the future, water is going to bubble and flow and exit and come from under the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash. This refers to a particular prophecy in Yechezkel about water coming forth from the Beis HaMikdash in the future when Moshiach comes. Be it as it may, the Mishnah continues with the list of the gates. Opposite these gates, on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, but again towards the west. Number one, Shar Yechonya, the gate of Yechonya, who was a king. We'll see in a moment why this gate was named after him. Shah HaKorban, the gate of the Korban of the offering. They would bring certain korbanos, kodshe kodshim, which are korbanos which have the higher level of sanctity. Certain korbanos, like a korban chatos, for example. They would bring those animals through this gate, Shah HaNoshim, the gate of the women. When one brings a korban, so the kohanim are the ones who process the korban. But ideally, the person bringing it needs to be there as he is doing it, as the kohen is processing it. And not only that, before the animal is slaughtered, the person bringing the korban does the process of smicha, of leaning on the animal. There's a discussion whether women would also lean on the animal. But be as it may, the women would stand here when their korban was being processed. And according to those opinions where that women do lean on the korban, they'd also lean on the korban over here. Okay, and fourthly, Shah HaShir, the gate of song, meaning this was the gate through which they would bring the instruments for the Levim. When the Levim sang, so instruments were also played, they would bring them through this gate. Now the Mishnah goes back to Shah Yechonya. V'lomanit kushmo Shah Yechonya, why was that gate called Shah Yechonya? Shabayot Yechon begolusoy, because that is the gate through which Yechonya HaMelech left into his exile when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So he left for the last time in the Beis HaMikdash through this gate. Mizrach, on the east side of the Beis HaMikdash, Shar Nikanar, there was the gate of Nikanar, and this is the gate, the Golden Gates, which Nikanar famously brought from Egypt through on a ship, and they miraculously arrived in Eretz Israel. So this gate was on the east side of the Beis HaMikdash, which named Pishpshin Hayulai, and there were two smaller doors or gates, one on the right side of Shar Nikanar and one on the left side, if they needed to enter or exit the Beis HaMikdash without having to open the massive golden doors of Shah Nikanar, so they could enter using those smaller doors, those smaller gates, or Shnei Ma'arav, and the last two gates, they were situated in the west side of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlohola Hen Shem, but they didn't actually have a particular name, since they weren't used very often.